Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. There's not a bigger lie that has done more damage to our nation than the theory that is taught and embraced as evolution. You say, what's the big deal about evolution? It's been taught for years now. One of the pillars of humanism, that you are your own God, one of the pillars that holds up humanism is evolution. There are about four other pillars. That's not what the sermon's on tonight. One of the main pillars of humanism is evolution, that you're an accident, that you have evolved from something. It not only is it a religion, evolution, that denies the existence of Almighty God, but the outworking of that system of religion, of that belief, and the end result is destruction and ruin of the individual, the family, and the nation, and certainly it would destroy any church. When you look at this passage, Proverbs 24, the problem with this man in this scripture is he appears to be an evolutionist. He is certainly a man that rejected the word of God. He believed that thorns would never grow in his vineyard because one day he took his land and he went out and he dug up the thorns. And then he said, that's it. I don't have to weed or dig up thorns anymore. He believed that weeds wouldn't take hold in his field because the first time he came to his field, he weeded it and then he thought it would take care of itself. He didn't believe that his wall around his vineyard needed to be maintained, but rather that his wall was going to get stronger and stronger if he ignored it and just let it be. A wise man then walks by and he looks and it says, while a man slept just a little, while a man slumbered just a little, while a man denied that he was sleeping when others accused him of it. The wise man noticed that the weeds always do what weeds do. He noticed that the nettles keep doing what nettles do. And the wise man noticed as he watched this man's field, the time and decay and the rot and the ruin and waste and damage, it just keeps moving and traveling on. As the wise man pondered and considered what he saw, he was instructed by God and he learned, time doesn't stop just because you do. Sin won't stop just because you stop fighting it. The devil won't stop trying to destroy you just because you get tired of fighting him. Your flesh won't stop trying to draw you astray just because you don't feel like praying today. There's nothing in this passage about bad men coming in and tearing down the wall. There's no enemy. Like when you read Matthew 13, the man sows his field, he goes and sleeps, and while he's sleeping, an enemy comes and sows tares in the field. There's nobody doing that in this passage. There's no adversary. There's no opposing force. There's no opposition. This is an illustration of the course of nature in a fallen world. You either exercise diligence or you're idle and lazy. Lesson, time never takes time off. The carnal nature never goes on vacation. The devil never says, I just don't feel like attacking today. That's one of the scary parts. I like the holidays. I'm glad for the break. I like it. I need it. But I still have to be careful on what I take a break from. Summertime scares me because you've got teenagers that are used to schedule, 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 schedule. And then all of a sudden they get 3 months of bunkers, and all of a sudden, no restraints. It's a scary time. A lot of people backslide during that time. We're getting ready to go into the Christmas holidays, and a lot of people get 2 weeks off. I know some of the college students that are coming back, they're getting like, wow, 3.5 weeks off. Where was that when I was in college? I mean, 3.5 weeks, man. I think it's great, but you better be careful what you take a break from. Take a break from the right things, but don't take a break from everything. You see, what's required for the destruction of your testimony and the ruin of your family, and what is required for this church to become one more washout, is not an attack by the devil. It's you believing that everything's going so good that it's going to run itself. What is required for you to go from active church member to absentee former member is not a great tragedy in your life. It's just, like our passage says, a little folding of the hands, a little slumber, a little sleep. Oh, I've read the Bible so many times. I know the Bible so well. I don't need to spend time in the Bible today. It's not a normal book. It is a book you read over and over again. It's an eternal book. I've already read it once. No one reads their Bible too much. Oh, I don't want to be so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. I want to meet somebody like that before I die. I hear about them all the time. I've never met somebody that was so spiritually minded and loved God and served God so much that they were no earthly good. That's always an excuse. You understand? But I honestly would like to meet someone like that before I die. One day of neglect of God's word, that won't hurt me. This might be true if no one at your job cursed that day. That might be true if no one at your job displayed themselves immodestly. If no advertiser promoted alcohol and booze. If there was no music played in a store or over a loudspeaker where you do business, calling you back to the life you left behind. If the world would take a day off, then you could take a day off. If the flesh would take a day off, then you could take a day off. If the devil would just stay in bed, then you could stay in bed. I must be diligent every day to tend to my garden because weeds are going to do what weeds do. The insects are going to do what insects do. The thorns and the briars are going to do what thorns and briars do. No one doubts me on this because all you have to do is plant a garden and then let it go for and never weed it. In about 3 to 4 weeks, you won't even be able to see what you planted. It wouldn't be because someone came and wrecked your garden. It wouldn't be because someone planted the weeds or the grass. That's just the course that it's on. Weeds have always grown there and weeds will always grow there. If grass ever grew there, grass will always grow there. And if lust was ever in your heart, lust will be there till you die. And if temptation has ever gotten a hold on you, then temptation will be keeping, trying to get a hold on you until you die. Our flesh never evolves from a low state to a better state. If anything, it keeps getting worse. Our sinful condition keeps getting more and more rotten. And unless you interfere, it keeps going like it's always been and going on. And as soon as you stop interfering, it goes that way again. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible doesn't say your heart was deceitful above all things and your heart was desperately wicked. But now that you're saved, you don't have that to worry about anymore. The Bible says, now that you're saved, your heart is still deceitful and still wicked and desperately wicked. Right now, your heart desires what it's always desired. Your mind tends toward what it has always tended toward. Your flesh has an appetite for what it has always had an appetite for. When Jesus said in John 3, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Praise God, you got saved, and that part of you that was born of the Spirit is born, but you still have flesh to deal with. And that which was born of the Spirit didn't stop the flesh from being the flesh that it is. It's still a problem. That's how come the rock bands of the 70s and the 80s still do concerts when they're in their 70s. I think that is, every once in a while, you know, you get one of those pictures on the thing when it comes up, and they'll have some nasty old rock star up there. And it's like, really? Why don't you go die somewhere or something? I don't know. Not that you're in your 70s. Yeah, I think you understand what I'm saying. Here's these nasty evangelists for sin. That's what a rock star is. They're the devil's evangelists. And now they're in their 70s. And it's like, wow, don't you have like a wheelchair to sit in or a nursing home? they're doing concerts. Then you hear these people, there's some of these rock stars, they do their concerts. Then they're dying on the stage, having a heart attack. It's like, yuck. You know how come? Because sin never goes out of style. If it was sinful back then, it's sinful now. It never goes out of style. Your flesh can't be trusted anymore right now than when you first walked through the doors of the church. Your heart and your thoughts can no more be trusted right now than the time when you first heard a preacher preach from the Bible. After Paul had been saved for 25 years, God used him to pen Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing." Nothing. People in Bible preaching, soul-winning Baptist churches all across America do this. They sit in pews, excited, blessed for a while. They get involved, they participate, they sell out for Jesus and they want to live for him. Things are going great and they're growing spiritually, and then they put it in neutral and they coast. They quit fueling the fire and they aren't recharging the battery. They forget the activity is because of their relationship with Jesus. And before long, they start thinking that the preaching is against them instead of for them. The music that used to bless them is now bothering them. People that one time said, "Well, the Bible says, and the scripture says," people that at one time said, "I can't do that because the word of God says," they begin to say, "I just feel the Lord leading me. I just have peace about it." When the Lord is leading you, and what the Lord is leading you to do doesn't match what God says in his word, your flesh has reassumed control of your garden and the briars have taken over your vineyard. The reason you're trying to get peace in your heart about something is because you can't get peace with God looking in his book. They always put it on Facebook. God led us to leave this church. But the church is the pastor's still preaching the book. They're still going soul winning. And it's so strange. God never led them to go soul winning. God never led them to pray. God never led them to hear a missionary's voice in a letter that's asking for help. They can't hear anything like that, but they get any opposition, and all of a sudden, it's God leading them to leave. Isn't that kooky? It's like the only thing God can tell them is whether or not to leave a church or stay. But they don't do anything spiritual. Maybe that was the lead up to it. Maybe that was the lead up. Did you know you can have peace about anything if you only consult yourself? In our text, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. This foolish man thought that since he cleared the ground once, it would stay clear forever. And he thought that since he cut down the briars, there would never be briars again. He built the wall once. Now he should never have to maintain that wall because it's always going to keep out the foxes and the other animals. If I asked you a question tonight in your heart, don't answer out loud. Was there a time in your life when you would have never gone to that website and you're going there now? You're still in church, still smile, still shaking hands. When you know how to make it look like your garden is okay, the Holy Ghost knows when there's some weeds popping up. Ask another question. Don't answer out loud. Why would a wife stay up at night typing in the names of boys she knew 30 years ago? Why should you care what they're doing now? If you have a husband, right? Why would you care? Why are you looking up old briars that used to have a root in your vineyard? I'm telling you because people sit in good churches with a Bible in their lap and they backslide. And they know how to look right and cover it up until the destruction comes. You have to keep on weeding, cutting down briars and repairing your wall. I know there are some people in church who believe in evolution. There has to be. They think the church restrooms clean themselves. They think the church carpet vacuums itself. I tell our kids, we have to do our laundry. They've not made yet self-cleaning, self-folding, self-putting away laundry yet. You can download the app if you want to. You still have to fold your clothes and put them up. There's things we have to do. But there's people that believe in evolution. They come to dinner, potlucks, breakfast, pile their plate high, eat, go home like everything's going to clean up all by itself. They think the garbage jumps in the trash cans, that the trash bags tie themselves, hop out of the cans, and hop out to the green dumpsters and put them in there. No, somebody has to clean up every single time. After every Sunday school, after every activity, maintenance to our church building is a big budget item. They say most church budgets don't allow enough for church maintenance. And the financial experts say this: take whatever your property is valued at, take 10% of it, and that's what you can plan to spend a year on maintenance. If we don't, we have to keep fixing things. If we don't keep the place up, literally, if we just let things, oh, that's broken, don't worry about that. Oh, that's got a tear in it, that's got a hole in it. In about 3 years, our property would be destroyed. It has to be kept up. A wise man knows that just a little folding of the hands to sleep and a little slumber will lead to embarrassment. Everybody gets excited about something new, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual, okay? Nobody stays excited, though, about maintaining it. Getting something valuable is exciting. Character and discipline are needed to take care of it. I could use that in a marriage, in a house, in a car. When you get a new life in Christ and you get saved, it's exciting. But please remember, your flesh is not excited about you getting saved, and it's going to take work for you to grow spiritually and keep on growing. Marriage exciting. That's always exciting. When you say, I do, and then they say, I double do. Okay. You're excited. She's excited because she thinks he's always going to treat her the same way he did when they were dating. And he's not. He's going to try. Amen. But he's not. Well, and then he thinks she's beautiful. He thinks she's pretty. But guys, you just need to remember, most of that comes off. When you date somebody, I don't know if you realize it or not, when you date somebody, you're only seeing them at their best, right? You never smell morning breath. The hair is never boop, you know. It's always perfect. And then you get married. That's when the commitment starts. And the marriage is exciting, but maintaining the marriage takes work. It takes work. If you have property, you're going to have to maintain it. Every man hates mowers. I hate mowers. I hate tractor. I hate, if you have it, you got to keep it up. The thought comes, should I buy a steel chainsaw for $400 or just every time I need a chainsaw, go out and buy a cheap one and then throw it away? Should I buy a super nice mower or it's going to go bad anyways? Just buy a cheap $98 one at the start of the summer and then throw it in the trash when you're done because it ain't starting next year. You're going to buy a new one anyways. They all take maintenance. When you see, watch this, when you see houses that are foreclosed and they go unlived in for 6 to 8 months, it's amazing how quickly they're destroyed. I mean, how fast. That's because everything goes downhill. And if you don't take care of your body, it will break down.
I'm a junk food junkie.
You won't be for long. It will catch up with you. You better watch what you put in your pie hole. It catches up with you. I like biscuits and gravy, but I don't eat that every day, okay? I'd be a rolling toad. You can't eat biscuits and gravy. I love my gravy 40 weight, amen? I can't eat that every day. I don't eat it once a week, you understand? Now that I fix it, my wife used to say, you know, I used to get it. She used to fix it for me like twice a year. Now, praise God, I get it more than that. No, but anyways, if you don't take care of your body, it's going to break down. Can I ask you this? How's your prayer life? It takes work, doesn't it? It doesn't happen by itself. How's your Bible reading? How's your witnessing and your soul winning? Oh, well, I've done it before. Okay, we've all done it before, but how is it right now? How is it right now? You see, this man had done it before too, but yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and his poverty came as one that traveleth, and his want came as an armed man. He cleared his field, he built his wall, he planted his grapes one time. Then he just folded his hands, took a nap, and said, the pastor will take care of it. Somebody else will do it. There's all kinds of people around here that can do that. I don't think I need to be as involved and as busy as I used to be. God warns us against that attitude, and everything will fall apart quicker than you can imagine. Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. The name of the sermon is Spiritual Poverty and Want. I'll show you that here in just a second because we'll end up going back to Proverbs 24. But you're going to 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse number 8. Ready? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Has nothing to do with drinking. Be mentally alert. Be vigilant. Slow to make decisions. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And watch these two words here. Whom resist steadfast. You ought to underline that word steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So God doesn't say just resist. He says resist steadfast, or fast to be steady. Hurry to be on guard. Hurry to have your heart right. Hurry to open up your eyes consistently, faithfully, day after day, knowing that the devil is not on vacation. Being steadfast. Quick to be steady. Because the devil is not goofing off today, my flesh cannot goof off today. The devil is on the prowl, always on the move, seeking whom he may devour. Look, I preach a sermon like this, not because I think anybody is stupid, but listen closely. There's a few of you, listen, the only spirituality some of you have is your pastor's. Think about what I just said. Dog's either barking or it's not. The only spiritual interest some of you have belongs to your Sunday school teacher or your youth worker. Listen, the only convictions some of you have belong to your mother and your father, because there are some, the only thing you have spiritually is what you've gotten secondhand or what has been forced on you. Think, you know it. And the devil knows it. The devil is not going to sign a peace treaty with you. He's not going to say, well, if you don't get serious about God, then I won't get serious about you. The devil is not going to say, look, if you'll just promise you won't live for Jesus, then I'll just let you alone. He's not going to do that. He wants your father, he wants your mother, he wants your brother, your sister, your pastor. He wants your church, and if he can't get them, he'll break their heart by getting you. Just because you grow up in a good church doesn't mean you're not as close to the world as someone who grows up in an unsaved household that never goes to church. It's the condition of your heart. You have got to stand against that thing. Sober, vigilant, and God says steadfast. You have to learn to keep on going and not stopping. And when it's time to do what duty says to do, don't let anything interfere with it. Look, no one ever leaves any church that's fundamental and soul winning and King James Bible because they want the NIV. Nobody does that. They leave because they get tired of forgiving. They get tired of putting up and long suffering with other people. That's why they leave. No, there's not been one person that left our church that said, you know, I just want to go liberal. That's it. I'm going to a rock and roll church. No, nobody just instantly did that. They get tired of the fight. And when you get tired of not being the center of attention, or you quit not keeping your heart right, before long, you can sit here and miss everything that's going on, and the person sitting next to you can get every bit of it. Our church hasn't changed. It's just that the briars and weeds have now grown up and you quit working your vineyard. 2 Peter, you're in 1 Peter, go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Everything except your Bible is going to burn. Amen? Car, house, clothes, all of it. It's going to burn. Seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to this promise, looking for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, wherefore, beloved, because of all that was just taught, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. I was trying to draw your attention to the word, just be diligent. Be diligent. We labor, we can't stop working because our flesh is getting worse. Now, if something affects anything dealing with your lifestyle, it's irritating. And it's ridiculous, or worse, it's legalism, because people who don't like conviction start thinking these thoughts. Well, I'm supposed to be free in Christ. Now I get to do anything I want to do. You didn't think that when you first got saved. You didn't think that when you first got saved. If you don't fix the wall and weed your vineyard, everything that is outside your vineyard is going to come in, or you're going to slip through the wall and go to the other side, or both. There are some Christians who used to pray, Lord, please help me live on less so I can give more to missions. There are some Christians that used to pray, Lord, please help me say no to overtime so I can go soul winning. Now they aren't in church anymore, or they're in some lukewarm, carnal, cappuccino church that has no business calling itself a church because it's not. They aren't in church because their doctrine changed about the Trinity. They aren't in church because they quit using the King James Bible. Their teenager got upset, knocked a hole in the wall, and they knew if they repaired it, the teenager's going to pitch a fit, so they let it go. When God told them to get rid of some things in their life during a revival, they just, instead of getting rid of it and putting it on the burn pile, they put it in the closet. If you don't keep weeding and rooting out briars and repairing the wall, you're going to lose your sanctification, not your salvation. How do some of the sweetest Christians you could ever meet in church, in a few years, some of them become the bitterest enemies of the same church they used to love? How does that happen? I'm not trying to dig up bad memories. I'm not trying, but it happens in every church. And if you've been in church a long time, you see that. People that used to, they loved it. And in a couple of years, they're the bitterest, nastiest enemies of the same church they used to attend. And the pastor hasn't changed. The Bible hasn't changed. The soul winning hasn't changed. It's just briars and thorns grew up and the wall broke down. Things got in and they got out. Problem is, they had a yard sale and they got rid of their garden tools and their wheelbarrow. They started telling people how they used to pray instead of praying with them. They started telling people how they used to go soul winning instead of going soul winning themselves. Back to our text. Can we go back there? Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Look at verse number 33. I know I've read it here a little bit, but let's just end on this verse here. Yet a little sleep, verse 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. If you underline two words in this passage, I'd like you to think about. Ready? So shall thy, could you underline the word poverty, come as one that traveleth. There's two words there. And thy want. As an armed man. Underline the word poverty and the word want. Poverty and want are traveling and they're on the move and they don't stop for anybody. And when you stop, they keep coming. The poverty and the want. I could talk spiritual poverty. That's true of anybody's business physically, and that's true of anybody in here spiritually. The only thing poverty and want can't get a hold on is the man that works his field consistently and keeps working at it and being constant, steadfast. That's protection against who's coming? Poverty and want. They never stop traveling. That's what it says. They never stop. And look, I don't want you to think, as a pastor, I'm supposed to warn you. Tonight's message is a warning. But I'm not writing anybody's case. Because here's the statement. Here's what I hear sometimes. Well, I'm not doing drugs. Oh, well, good. I'm glad you're not doing drugs either. Well, I'm not making moonshine in my backyard. Oh, well, good. I'm glad you're not making moonshine in your backyard. It's not what you're not doing. It's not the evil that you're not doing. The reason we preach and the reason we preach a message like this, it's because of the good that you're not doing. You're not praying, but you used to. You're not reading your Bible, but you used to. You're not going soul winning, but you used to. You're not serving God, but you used to. Well, you think I'm full of the devil? No, I don't think you're full of the devil. But don't forget, the devil doesn't stop coming. Poverty and want keep on traveling. They keep on moving. There has got to be some diligence and steadfastness saying, you know what? He's not getting in my vineyard. Those briars and thorns, they're coming up. The wall's getting repaired. Here, the lesson is poverty and want keep on coming. If you don't exercise diligence, you're spiritually going to backslide. Your church will stay spiritual if you don't lose your zeal for souls, your zeal for growth, your zeal for hunger for new people. You say, that's your job, preacher. No. I can't do it all. I can do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. But this, I love it. I think a strong church member says this. This is my church. This is where I serve. This isn't where, and when you stop serving, this becomes a gathering cultural place where we just meet and eat and gossip. If there's no service, do you understand? There has to be church. We come to church. This is where we serve God. This is where we serve God. You're either going on or you're going back, but no one can put it in neutral and coast. No one. Every day that you're content not to pray and not to be zealous for the Lord, Remember, spiritual want and poverty, they're coming. It never stops coming. The devil never quits being the devil. Did you know all the churches that the Apostle Paul started, none of them are in existence today? No church lasts forever. This church will always be here. This church will be here as a Bible citadel and a lighthouse and a soul-winning station as long as the people, as long as we keep working it. But if we don't, this church will die and become a washout like millions of others. It requires diligence, steadfast, in a hurry to be steadfast, in a hurry to be eyes open and vigilant. It takes work. It takes work. We can't stop. I want you to enjoy yourself during the holidays, but make sure you rest from the right things. Do you understand? All of us need it. All of us need it. There are some things if you rest from, it'll destroy you. I get scared. I do. As a pastor, I get scared going into the holidays. People say, I just need a break. I need a break too, but I don't need a break from God. I just need a break from the pressure. Is it? You ought to be convicted about reading your Bible, but this ought to be your safe haven. This is the place where I meet with the Lord. Gotta read my Bible. Is it that much of a duty? Oh my goodness, it ought to be sweet. Not something, I just need to get away and where I don't have to go to church and don't have to read, don't have to pray, don't have to go so. Careful. I want you to have a break from the right things. Do you understand? I want you to relax the right way. But I never need to get away from God. I never need to get away from the book. I never get too much of it. I hope tonight's message helps. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this truth. And Lord, I thank you for how you've helped me in my life and strengthened me because of it. Lord, the warning, the admonition, please bless these people. Strengthen them. And Lord, help us, please, where we need to dig up the briars and weed our vineyard and build the wall. And keep it safe. Please bless these sweet people. Please, Father. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.